Your Steve Jones Show podcast is loading now. The Steve Jones Show podcast is sponsored by Sunbury Motors, North 4th Street in Sunbury, and Sunbury Motors Kia, routes 11 and 15 in Hummel's Wharf. Sports talk where your voice counts. This is the Steve Jones Show on News Radio 1070 WKOK. Now from the Sunbury Motor Studio, here's Steve Jones.
Well, I said to the suit today, I said, what do you think about the baseball players getting an agreement now with the owners? He looked at me, he says, gold's 2,000 an ounce. It's just some people just have a one-track mind. I mean, It's hard to deal with somebody like that.
No, but he's very happy, though, because he was starting to get nervous because he has Phillies tickets for May 3rd.
Oh, that game's been canceled. All right, so...
get the lingerie on the deck. Call the janitor.
I mean, really. It's like, who are they playing May 3rd? He has no clue.
The Rangers.
I don't care who they're playing.
It's Dollar Dog Night.
That's all that matters. Tickets to see the Texas Rangers?
Iggy's going because it's Dollar Dog Night.
Oh, my God. There are people who live in Arlington that don't go to Rangers games. All right. So let's get to our play-by-play call of the day.
1, 2, 3.
I don't think so.
That is not it. That was supposed to be Jalen Pickett. Your call of Jalen Pickett's performance in the second half. That is not what that's supposed to be.
Well, out of nowhere, I broke into song on the play. And I thought it was clever play-by-play to break into lyrics.
Yeah, okay. But we do have Doug from Wellsboro on the line, I can tell you that. And then we have Neil Coolong on the line after that.
Dugger, how are you, Doug? How are you today?
Steven, that was one of your best calls of the day, that last little segment there.
I thought so, too, and I thought my ability to bounce back and bail Matt's backside out was pretty good.
Some of your best work, my man. Some of your best work.
Thank you.
Get the lingerie on the deck. Call the janitor.
Well, Matt told you I like to talk about that dope Jim Boeheim.
Oh, jeez. Okay.
Setting aside the I'm no Joe Paterno stuff from 10 years ago, I have a hard time overlooking that, but I'll set it aside. I listened to the post-game press conference with Duke, the Duke game, about an hour ago. I didn't see it,
so you're going to have to tell me what he said.
Well, you'll have to go back and look at it when you have time. He basically, before he took any questions, he went on a sanctimonious rant again. Not a rant, but he blamed everybody but himself. Yes, the refs missed it. The ACC, I don't know if they were right to suspend Buddy. What Buddy, did he really throw a punch? You know, all that stuff. But, of course, Boeheim, none of it is his fault. It was always somebody else's fault. The same thing it's always been with him.
Oh, my goodness, it sounds like the suit.
S-U-I-T, that spells suit.
I am so sick of that guy.
Yeah. Well, he's been around for a long time, obviously. He is going to coach at least one more season. Now, both of his sons are done. I believe Jimmy and Buddy are both done. I think, a big part of this to me is the fact that it's not just a player that got called for this and got suspended for it. I think a big part of this is that it's his son. So we do, when it comes to family, have a little more guarded outlook. I'm trying to be fair here. When it's not just, he's not just one of his players, it's his son. And that's, you know, I think that enters into this. When you do as many press conferences as he's done over the years, and geez, Doug, how many has he done? I mean, it's literally now thousands. I mean, thousands of them. And after a while, he obviously has just no use for this at all. And, you know, I will say this. I would say normally 60% of the questions, let's say 70% of the questions are questions that, you know, you have to ask, right? So everybody pretty much expects, okay, you're going to get that question. That's 70%. 10% of the questions that you get are actually really good questions where you sit back and say, wow, it's a really good question. And the reason you say that is like, wow, let me think about this for a second. Now, those 10% are really good. And 20% of the questions are beyond like, oh, my God, why? What the heck are you asking that for? All right? Of all the press conferences I've been to, it's usually that 70-10-20 breakdown. Well, when you've done thousands of these and have had to deal with the 20%, you start looking at every question like they're the 20%, and I'm wondering if that's where he is.
Do you remember, what was it, 7-8 years ago when all this coach in waiting stuff was quite the rage? Wasn't it Mike Hopkins he named coach in waiting? And he was going to, you know, ease his way out. Mike Hopkins got tired of waiting. He went to, like, Washington State or something like that. That's typical Boeheim.
He went to the University of Washington.
Right.
Well, the difference is, let's take Jimbo Fisher and Bobby Bowden. They had the same arrangement, right? Well, there's a lot of work behind the scenes that included the current head coach at Texas A&M and eventually getting him out, and did. And Mike Hopkins didn't do that. And look, Jim's had the job. Jim's won the national championship. He's been to Final Fours. He has been, quote, the cash cow of Syracuse athletics. There's no getting around it. And there are certain people, you know, again, let's just take the name Jim Boeheim aside. So let's just put that aside. There's certain people I look at, Doug, and I say, you know what? You've done so much for us. You can kind of help call the shots here as to what's going on, because they did not have a good season this season by Syracuse standards. And to be honest with you, when Penn State beat them in Brooklyn 2 years ago, Penn State was not just a little bit better, they were a lot better than Syracuse that night. Not a little bit better, a lot better. And so he's had good teams, but not great teams. The transition to the ACC has not been easy, but he's done so much for the athletic department. You kind of sit back and say, you know, you kind of feel like he has the ability to help call his own shots on that. And I don't blame him for continuing coaching. Well, I mean, to be honest with you, I mean, I've been doing my job a long time. I'm not in the mood to step aside. I mean, I'm not coaching, but I don't want to step aside. Now, this is my 40th season. Now, maybe you want me to step aside. Matt's begging me to step aside. The suit, the suit's just like, please. You know.
Just one more quick thing on Boeheim, then I'll move on real quick.
Sure.
I mean, they keep him around, obviously. They want him for fundraising. They want the name, that kind of stuff. You know, that's why they put up with the stuff he puts out all the time. But my other question real quick is, I mean, we listen to you on the radio and stuff. I don't understand what's happened. When Penn State gets in these droughts where they can't score, can you tell me from the inside what is happening? Are they not getting to the right spots? Are they getting to the right spots and just not making the shot? What is happening? What's Mike is saying, or what's going on that they cannot score on these droughts?
Yeah, so let's go back to the first half last night. The first half last night, believe it or not, Penn State was playing too fast on offense. And by playing so fast on offense, okay, here we go. And they weren't clearing any space out, because part of what they're doing on offense is they're setting up screens, creating spacing and openings. When you're going quicker, which they did last night in the first half, they started playing the game in a phone booth. There's no spacing. It's too crowded. In the second half, right, it seems like they're playing faster because they're scoring. So it's going to make the game feel faster when a team is scoring. But believe it or not, they kind of slowed it down just a smidge, bought themselves a little time to create more space on the floor so they could get the matchup they wanted. Willis is the guy they wanted to go after last night. Well, now they created the matchup with the spacing on the floor. They didn't do a good job of taking the ball to the bucket in the first half. And then the other part is, you know, Dalian Johnson had 5 wide open shots last night. He missed all 5. And Doug, this kid is not a good shooter. This kid's a terrific shooter. Now, maybe late in the year, maybe he doesn't have his legs, because he didn't hit a shot against Rutgers either. So he had five wide open looks, like going, okay. Seth had some wide open looks. Miles had some wide open looks. Now in the second half, Miles hit his three. Seth hit a couple of threes. Dalian still didn't hit a shot. And then Pickett was able to go wherever he wanted. And Sessoms kind of backed off a little bit and kind of gave him a little room to operate, which then gave John some room to operate. Now, the other – and there's one other issue, which I'll get to, that's part of this. I'm not going to get into who texted Micah this, but it's a pretty prominent coach. He said, I'm watching your game. He says, can you possibly get a call? He said, this is ridiculous. When John Herrick goes up and missed the layup, you know why he missed the layup? He's having his shirt grabbed. Like, okay. When Pickett went in, he got slammed across the arm. Okay? And part of this is like Dick has the replay, and Dick's telling me this. If Dick's telling me that, I think it's accurate, okay? And that's what the Penn State bench got warned on that play. Like, got warned. That's been an issue all season. I mean, they're going to face Ohio State tonight. E.J. Liddell this season in two games against Penn State has 20 free throw attempts against Penn State this season. You know how many free throw attempts Penn State has against Ohio State in two games? 29.
Yeah. Well, just look at the end of the Rutgers game. I mean, everything, any 50-50 goes against them for some reason, but...
Well, it's more than that. The clock started before the ball was touched. There was 1.4 seconds right off the clock. But that, you know, hey, look, it benefited Rutgers. That's fine. That's as Dick would say, yesterday's news, and that's the, you know, that's the attitude that we've had to adopt over and over again, probably far too often.
Well, I don't want to take up too much of your time. Have Neil Coulon coming,
Neil can go the final half hour. Do you have any other questions? Basketball, football questions? What do you got? Since you're there, let her fly.
I mean, Doug, we listen to you every night. We think you have more to give, though.
You got more to give, Steve Jones.
I'm not sure we're getting maximum effort out of you, Steve Jones. We're getting it out of Dick and Jack Ham, but Steve Jones, I don't know. I think you have more to give.
I got more to give.
You got more to give, Steve Jones.
I got a lot more to give. That's exactly right. Doug and John Hara agree on that. So, yeah, football's off this weekend. And, off this week. They'll come back. They've got a meeting on Sunday night. James won't be at the meeting on Sunday night because there is a recruit that they signed in February that he's doing a home visit with. So, you know, because he wants to always do home visits with every recruit. Always.
Matt, are you happy that Carson Wentz went to the Commanders?
Oh, absolutely. I can't wait for both contests so the Eagles can just tear him apart and get a couple interceptions because he continues to do whatever he wants with the football. So it works.
What is it with that guy? Half the team loves him. The other half hates him, but he wears out his welcome after a year or so at any place anymore.
You know, I'm asking myself the same questions. If you had asked me in 2017 this is how it was going to go down, I would have thought you were nuts. I'm amazed of how badly it's gone for Wentz, but I'm also amazed of how much the Eagles have kind of benefited since they got rid of him.
Yeah. Well, thanks for your time, guys. We'll listen to you tonight, Steve.
Hey, thanks, Doug. I appreciate that so much.
Okay.
Yeah, I went by Lucas Oil Stadium today, and I saw the Peyton Manning statue. There was no statue of Carson Wentz. I went to the Indianapolis Motor Speedway. No statue of the suit.
Oh, my almighty!
The suit has never been there. Did you know that?
I did know that.
He's never been there. Holy mackerel. This guy, he takes his birthday off. He takes, how many vacations a year does he take? I mean, he get in a car and drive out there. Take the tour. You know? He's always been mad at me that I walked on the track. I told you that story, right?
Yes, I've been told of that story.
All right. I was the only guy out there on the tour. The bus driver stops at the start and finish lane. He looks at me. He says, "Do you want to walk on the track?" I said, "Absolutely." He says, he looks around. He goes, "Go ahead." I'm walking up and down the straightaway. Didn't know the suit really that well at the time. Brought up the story, and suddenly out of nowhere, I feel like I'm talking to a Martian. You want to know why?
Why is that?
Green with envy. Here on News Radio 1070 WKOK.
No, senor! No, senor! No, senor!
You're going to drive and be smiling with Zimmerman Motors.
Mark and Troy here at Zimmerman Motors. It's the Jeep Celebration event, and we're celebrating with special Jeep deals for everyone.
We have 0% financing on many Jeep models, including Grand Cherokee, Renegade, and Compass.
We're also offering 0% financing on Ram 1500s, and we have new vehicles arriving weekly.
Our Challenge Credit Program helps people with credit scores below a 620 get the credit they deserve.
Jeep Celebration event discounts all month long, a great selection. It's going to be a fun month.
So come in and see why people have been coming from all over the region to Zimmerman's Chrysler Dodge Jeep Ram in Sunbury and experience what we call the Zimmerman difference. Call 570-988-JEEP or visit us online at ZimmermanJeep.com.
Year after year, mile after mile, Zimmerman Motors brings on a smile. You're gonna drive away smiling, Zimmerman Motors.
If you're thinking of downsizing, consider life at Nottingham Village. We offer maintenance-free living, 2 and 3 bedroom country homes, or if you prefer apartment-style living, check out our retirement center apartments. Our retirement center offers studio, 1 and 2 bedroom apartments. Our largest apartments contain a full kitchen to dine in your apartment, or you can take advantage of our restaurant-style dining for as many meals as you desire. You also have access to Nottingham Village's activities and transportation to local events and stores. Our wide hallways allow the use of personal transportation devices for indoor use, and if you require some level of personal care, we can provide what you need on a case-by-case basis. To set up a tour of our properties, call Al Seidel at 570-473-8366 or log on at nottinghamvillage.org.
At Panera, you can say yes to both of your cravings. We call it You Pick Two. And with over 465 pairings, you'll find a meal sure to satisfy any mood. Are you feeling both fresh and fun? Pick our Fuji apple salad with a new Thai chicken soup. Or maybe you're feeling classic and bold. Pair some creamy mac and cheese with our new citrus Asian crunch salad. Pick your perfect pair and order a You Pick Two today. Panera, the familiar made fantastic.
Gah, I'm so stressed. It's a brand new year and our business is busier than ever.
Uma.
What is that? Meditation?
I'm recommending the Uma cloud phone system with auto attendant and more than 35 features.
Uma?
Yep. Switching to Uma is a cinch. Starts at $19.95 per month per user, plus taxes and fees.
Uma.
Now you're feeling it. Visit Uma.com. That's OOMA.com to learn more. Uma, smart communications for the smarter business.
The Steve Jones Show on News Radio 1070 WKOK.
The most exciting wrestling program in the world, the Penn State Nittany Lions. Back to Iowa.
Oh, there's a takedown. Oh, my God, there's a takedown. That's the first one we've had in 30 minutes. Everybody, look.
Welcome to another edition of Iowa Wrestling, setting the sport back 25 years.
The Steve Jones Show, 3 to 5 weekdays on News Radio 1070 WKOK.
Tell me I'm wrong. Look, everybody has to come up with their own way to win, and for Iowa, they think that's the best way to win. And it, look, and we talk about this with Wisconsin football all the time about, look, they run the ball. They don't really throw the ball a lot. We talk about that sometimes in basketball with, you know, for example, Penn State feels the best way for them to win this season. You know, 2 years ago, Penn State's up and down the floor. They're one of the two fastest-paced teams in the Big Ten 2 years ago. With this year's personnel, they play the game at a slower pace. You got to look at your personnel, and it's the best way to win. Iowa feels that's the best way to win. Okay, so let's be straight about that. Penn State style brings more fans to watch it, though. It's more exciting. It's got takedowns. It's fun, as opposed to grinding it out. Like when you're watching 7 minutes of grind it out, you know, it's like watching the suit dig a ditch.
No, senor!
Keep digging, Kev. Get it done. All right. Tell me the Iowa game is mercifully over. I mean, this were a fight that would have stopped it on cuts. You know, Iowa's really good. And, you know, it's not a good matchup for Northwestern. Just Iowa is really good. I know I feel like they've kind of handed the game to Illinois last week. But, yeah, you know, you got to play the full 40 minutes. And Iowa did not play well down the stretch. And then Keegan Murray had a chance with 3 free throws late, and he missed 2 of the 3. Like, okay, that happens. Baseball has an agreement. How about that? Huh? Some excitement. Sue is now able to go to his game on May 3rd when the Phillies take on the Frisco Rough Riders.
Oh, my almighty!
Is that who they're playing?
A little bit further south than the Texas Rangers, yeah, but close enough.
He has become the first guy in the history of sports to willingly buy tickets to a Texas Rangers game.
Dollar dog night, that's all that matters.
The what? A dollar, that's right. Dollar dog night. I forgot about that. Okay, I forgot about that. That actually is, in every sport, that is such a popular promotion. It really is. Everyone, hey, it's dollar dog night. So he's going to get a dog and a beer. So the dog is a dollar and the beer is 12. All right. So
well, yeah, that's true. That's everywhere, though.
Oh, my goodness. Yeah. Well, it'll be back. Look, what's really bad for baseball is they're doing all this negotiating back and forth, and it just seems so petty between the two. And it's against the backdrop of what's going on in Europe. Like, people are fleeing to the border and things like that. Meanwhile, it's like, well, the luxury tax is too low. I'm like, oh, for God's sakes, really. I mean, get a grip on who you are, okay? And where you stand in the world. But evidently it's solved. And I guess they want to play a 162-game schedule despite the fact that they were canceling games.
Yeah, they're going to do it by doubleheaders, 9-inning doubleheaders, and the season would start April 5th.
Ooh. Maybe the Rangers and Phillies will play a doubleheader. And the suit can get twice as many hot dogs.
He just said that's so a lot of dogs.
Okay, so let's get... Okay, in a 9-inning game, over, under, at 6...
Dogs for the suit?
Oh, guys, what do you think I'm talking about?
I would go. He says take the over. I go under.
Oh, I'm taking the over. Are you kidding me? he's sitting there right now going, that's only $6.
That's true. Hence the dollar dog night.
Yes. I'm telling you, over, under 6. I'm going over.
Well, we'll see what happens,
suit,
I guess.
Is he taking suit light?
I'll have to ask. Yes, he is.
Oh, then it's a Dago dozen. News
Radio. Taking your calls at 800-795-9565. This is the Steve Jones Show on News Radio 1070 WKOK. Now from the Sunbury Motor Studio, here's Steve Jones.
And today's show brought to you by Sunbury Motors, 4th Street in Sunbury. Sunbury Motors, Key Routes 11 and 15, Hummel's Wharf, online at sunburymotors.com. Neil Coulong in a moment. The players and the owners did come to an agreement, so the baseball lockout after 99 days is over. I know, Kevin, you're going to the Rangers-Phillies game on May 3rd.
Just got the tickets last night, actually.
Good. No, I think that's great. I think I want to try and go up to Brookline and cover one day of the U.S. Open practice round. Do it for the show in June, and I'll probably couple that by maybe going to the Red Sox Tigers game that night because I have a son that lives up there. You know what? I'm going to talk about some, just briefly before I get to Neil. I'll just do this very quickly. There's more money than ever before flowing in to sports. TV money, radio money, social media money, you know, all sorts of revenue sources, advertising money and so forth. And sports, this is the part I worry about, is losing contact with the person that really makes it go. And that's the average woman, man. That may not have a ton of money, but they're like the real diehard fan and they want to go. And maybe they'd go to 20 games. Maybe they'd go to 10. But now they can go to one or two because they've priced that person out. And I just hope they don't price out the person that is may not have tremendous means, but boy, sure does love it. And I'd hate to lose because they actually create the real atmosphere inside any ballpark, stadium, or arena. Just me. Yeah.
No, you're not wrong. That's probably going to be the only game we'll go to maybe this year. I think we went to two last year.
It's idealistic. I know it's idealistic. It's not realistic. But I always sit back and I look at this stuff and I go, well, the players made out great and the owners made out great, right? And if I start hearing they're raising ticket prices again, I'm like, hey, whoa, you got a new TV deal, you got a new radio deal, you got advertising all over the walls. You got, well, hold on a second. Okay? Don't make it so it's, I'd like to go, and you turn it into an excruciating experience to try and attempt to do. I mean, this is bad news for the Pirates. That means they have to play. All right, so let's get to Neil Coulong. Talk about the Steelers for a moment in the NFL. Sir, welcome. It's always a pleasure.
It's great to be here as always. I can assure you that I am not being traded for five picks and three other radio show guests to the Denver market. That's just something that's not going to happen. And for real, I know that Seattle said they weren't going to do it, but for real, that definitely will not happen for me.
And again, your loyalty is appreciated. Plus, there are not five people in Denver we want. All right, so
exactly.
That's what it comes down to. You're way better than five people they could send us.
The market issue.
It always is. You know, just because a big market name doesn't mean it's any good. All right, so. So I mean, you know, when you sit back and you. You know, Rodgers does, I think, what most of us expected him to do, stayed. Wilson gets moved. What are the other dominoes that you're looking at as to how this can play out?
It's hard to tell because dominoes is exactly the best way to put it. It's not a coincidence that within 90 minutes of Aaron Rodgers' deal, you have the trade of the year, perhaps the trade of the decade. Obviously, considering the size of the deal of Seattle sending Russell Wilson to Denver for the amount of capital that went into that trade, it's obviously something they had worked out well in advance. Both sides were prepared to make that deal. They just had to dot a few I's, cross a few T's, and execute it, or at least it'll be executed when the league year starts. But it's those are the two biggest pieces. And if you look at it from a Steelers vantage point, which is not one that I have shared, but it's one that fans want to continue talking about, the market for veteran quarterbacks just kind of died. I mean, at the same time, most would probably argue they weren't going to want to get into that market. There are reports that the Steelers were a team at the very least doing due diligence on Aaron Rodgers, getting a sense of what could be negotiated there. We won't know what Pittsburgh had offered in terms of contract or trade compensation back to Green Bay in such a deal. But looking at the size of the deal that Green Bay gave him, you know, it probably would have needed to be substantially larger than their previous biggest contract that they've given in history. So those pieces are out. It does kind of indicate maybe Pittsburgh was interested in, you know, the superstar level, older, expensive quarterback that's going to cost them, you know, probably a total of one draft over the next 3 years. But at the same time, I think they built themselves to be in a position to make a move like that should a move present itself. And, you know, to the degree that it did, we won't know. It obviously wasn't executed, but they had the ability, the means, the motive, and the opportunity to go look and see if there was a deal like that available. They have the cap space in order to do most deals. They could probably have fit quite a bit in their, you know, superstar level QB. That's in question here. I'm not sure whoever is left could really fit that bill anymore. Dollars wise, it's, you know, not hard to find a quarterback who gets paid a lot of money, but it's the ability, the talent, the longevity, that just isn't there anymore. And I think this, it goes back to last year when they signed Rudolph to a one-year extension, gave him cash last season. I think for the most part, it was to hedge against the idea that if they're going to go into the quarterback market looking for a starting level quarterback, it's not going to be Mitch Trubisky. They would want an Aaron Rodgers or a Russell Wilson. And I think they were open to that. I mean, I think it would make sense for them to explore it and see what might be available for them in that regard. But if that isn't available and doesn't seem any more like it is, I think they're just going to go with Rudolph as their starter. And I think the plan was to draft one anyway. So their plans are right in line. This is really what they want to do. And the market may have played out a little bit differently than what some people might have thought. But I do think the Steelers had some interest in it, even if it wasn't something that was going to realistically materialize.
They get to the second round. Say in the first round they pick a guy that, whether it's a lineman, whatever it may be, it's not a quarterback. And Desmond Ridder of Cincinnati is still sitting there in the second round. Do you think that's a realistic consideration?
If I'm the Steelers and Ridder is on the board when they draft in the second round, I'm running to the podium. I'm
yeah,
not walking.
I thought that would.
That would be a fantastic situation. We see quarterbacks jump in value. Well, our perception is they jump in value. They get mocked, you know, way lower than where they end up getting drafted all the time. We're used to that. Ridder, to me, is a guy that I feel like he has the skill set that you would want in a starter. I think there are some mechanical issues that you're really worried about considering the amount of experience that he has. I don't know if he's going to have the time and the opportunity to work enough with his feet and his upper body. Those aren't locked in when he throws. You can see it as clear as day. I don't know if he has the time and the growth curve anymore, being that the age that he is,
right,
to work those things away, to sand those things off, because he's not going to be a starter in year one. So you look at it like that, you really kind of have to be a starter in year two. Otherwise, he's just simply not going to get the reps. There obviously practice reps on your own, that's stuff you want to put into it, but you know, when it counts is in practice. That's when they're really evaluating you, and you have to be able to step up and do it at a level close to perfection if you want to move up. Now, in an opportunity like the Steelers in the second round, I can see that being beneficial for him, because yes, he will absolutely sit, but as of now, in this hypothetical scenario, Ridder would be the only guy they have signed for next year. So,
right,
you know, inside track, he's going to be realistically somebody they're looking for to start in his second year. I like the opportunities that they have. I don't like saying this quarterback is worth the 20th pick, but he's not worth the 18th pick. That's really, it's too specific, and it's too dependent on who's drafting and who needs what. The 20th pick is not a premium pick.
Right.
I mean, it is, but not in comparison to the 10th pick, for example. Ridder doesn't belong in that top bucket, but right, I could see the Steelers being at 20 If I'm not at all suggesting this is what they're thinking, because I don't know, but if they are interested in Desmond Ridder, realistically, 20 is the spot they're going to have to take him unless they can find a way to trade down. And I'm not sure this is really a great trade down kind of draft. You need the real high-end quarterback to be available there. I don't think that's quite Ridder. I think a team would really like to get Ridder at 29, 30, somewhere in there, where you can get that fifth-year option to lock him in for a fifth year, keeping him away from free agency at relatively kind of a low price, and not have to risk waiting into the second round for him, where you might have to trade up for him. So if the Steelers saw that opportunity, they would, you know, break anything in their path to announce that selection. I it would be great for him as well if they could get away with taking whoever in round one and then getting Ridder in round two. That would be a great start to their draft.
All right. So now we get to the free agency part of this, which to me is always the tip off as to how a team's going to draft. I mean, to me, that always is. I mean, it's the positions you sign in free agency that tell me what positions, okay, that you're going to go in a different direction of the draft compared to what you sign. So what positions do you think they need to get in the free agency part to then set up the draft?
It's the way that I think is right. You want to set up your draft. And really, when you look at free agency, a lot of it depends on where you are in terms of your roster construct. What do you want to do for this year and for the next year or two? And how much flexibility do you have dollars-wise? The Steelers are sitting on basically a cap reducer in TJ Watt's already guaranteed $24 million base salary. They put that into the contract, I think, one, to help lower his year one salary cap charge, but two, to keep it in place in case they want to free up some more space for the 2022 season, which is where they are now. They can, you know, basically reduce that to, I can't do the calculus off the top of my head, but they could clear up $20 million in the cap just with a move with Watt alone.
Right.
So if they want to go out and spend, they absolutely can. Now that pushes up the cap numbers in subsequent years for Watt, and maybe they don't really want to do that. It's a good way to keep it down because maybe it's an option for next year that you want to explore. I don't know. But the point is, they are able to be competitive at the very top of the free agency market this year. And I don't know if we've ever said that about where they are in terms of the cap heading into the start of free agency. For me, I feel based on what they've already tried to build, and let's keep in mind, I think everybody would agree Kendrick Green was probably not the best center in the NFL last season. I think everybody understands that. Everybody
I just saw him Thursday night.
He was at
the Penn State Illinois game out in Champaign, and I looked over and thought, not the best pick they made. Well, with all due respect,
hasn't worked out well. The interesting thing is, he came a little bit more highly touted than Dan Moore did.
Yeah.
And Dan Moore wasn't supposed to play at all. And these guys were only 40 picks between them drafted, I think. Something like that.
Right.
Moore wasn't supposed to play at all. And if anything, I think, you know, all things considered, I think Moore was the better of the two. So I think you've got something to work with at left tackle. I think you have options at right tackle up to and including the draft. If not, trying to see if you can't get Chukwuma Okorafor on an extension. Now, that's a guy who's probably going to cost you an APY of about $9 million. Somewhere that's just the going rate of a younger starting offensive tackle in the NFL. He's not a journeyman. He's not, you know, 31 years old. You're going to have to pay a little bit to keep him around. But I don't know if that's a terrible move. I don't think it's that bad at the tackle position considering where they were. Now, does Okorafor want to play right tackle? I don't know. I have no idea. I think he wants to get paid like a left tackle, which, you know, either way you look at it, so many guys have done that. If you want me to play right tackle, pay me like a left tackle, and I'll sign with you. They've done that enough to the point where the top 10-ish in terms of salary at each position, the highest end is bigger at left tackle, but that mid-level and lower level is about the same. So it roughly it's going to cost you $9, maybe $10 million to get a Okorafor on a long-term deal. So if you're letting him go, you probably need to sign a starting right tackle. On top of that, I would say that you can't bank on it necessarily, except for the fact the Steelers haven't drafted an offensive tackle in round one since, I think, 1996. So it seems like a pretty decent bet. They're not looking to draft a tackle in the first round. If they want to go second round for a tackle, all right, well, you went with the rookie tackle thing last year. I'm not sure that worked out all that great in a one-season vacuum. You might want to look veteran at that spot. More than anything, though, just because the Steelers really seem to value the interior offensive lineman, I think they're going to start a right guard or look to sign a starting right guard in free agency. For what they do, I think that makes the most sense. And I think at the same time, if we can agree, Kendrick Green was probably the weak link on that offensive line last year. Well, he had a first-year starter to his left, and he had a veteran free agent signed in July to his right. Trey Turner is not going to be back, so there's another new starter who's coming in there. That's not the easiest thing in the world for a center to take on. Now, granted, he's getting paid. The expectation is there for him to be able to do the job, but if it were me, I'm really looking for a veteran right guard just to make my right tackle, who might have to be new as well, or he might even have to be a rookie as well. I'm going to make the right guard the veteran figurehead on this line. This is the guy I'm going to invest money in. The Steelers think like that. I wouldn't be surprised if that's the type of move they make. And Brandon Scherff, I think, looks pretty good for what they're doing, and they have the money to sign him. So, to be honest, if it's me, that's what I'm going to do in free agency. And then, as usual, the Steelers will add maybe a starting-level defensive back at some point in the offseason. They usually do that. They kind of pick through what they seem to feel is a pretty deep pool of mildly experienced, lower-priced, interchangeable cornerbacks. Every year they pick up a guy like that. I don't think they're going to resign Akilah Witherspoon just because they sign an Akilah Witherspoon every year.
Right.
They seem to like that tradition. I don't know why they're going to spend more on him now, but we'll see how it all shakes out. But you absolutely need to fill depth. They can get, I'm not sure what Tyson Alualu's situation is. I do see a 35-year-old guy who missed almost all of last season with a pretty significant injury. Is he guaranteed to come back? I don't know why that would be the case necessarily. Maybe he is, but you might want to get some depth along your defensive line. Chris Wormley's in a contract year. You have no idea what's going to happen with Stephon Tuitt, so there's no point even trying to count on him to play 17 games. You need to get somebody there as well. I would address those things and try to put yourself in a little bit more of an actionable position in the draft this season, which they were not last year at all. They had to draft. What did they end up with, like five starters, six if you count the punter?
Right.
That's tough to do. It's tough to win with that many rookies who have to contribute for your team. They're going to want to add veteran depth this year and give them a little bit more of an opportunity to bring rookies along, not just for 2022, but 23, 24, and beyond.
Yeah, my advice is don't look to the Giants or the Jets. All right, so there we go. Neil, my friend, thank you so much. You are our Aaron Rodgers.
Absolutely. My hair is a lot shorter. You guys are happy to know that, I'm sure.
Yeah, and really, great information there. Thanks. Neil, thank you.
Neil Coulon. You know, Kevin, I just saw what some of the terms were of this agreement. I know they had the international bonus pool was, but I really had nothing to say about that. 2 weeks ago in this show, they were talking about minimum salary number. I said, just compromise it. Just offer 700. Right? Luxury tax. I said, just compromise. Say 230 and start from there. Guess what the numbers ended up being? 700,000 minimum salary, 230 on the luxury tax. I mean, really, was it that hard?
For 99 days, it was.
I'm just saying, I mean, if you and I could sit there and figure it out 2 weeks ago and say, like, just offer them 700, right? That gets closer to their number. It's in the neighborhood. Offer them 230 of the luxury tax, right? I said, I think that now you feel like you're getting closer together. They finally do it. They get an agreement. They're like, oh, for goodness sakes, what is going on here? You could have done that last July. All right. I did text you over the Indianapolis Motor Speedway.
Yes, you did. I appreciated that. Yeah.
You know, yes, it still gnaws at you.
It's on my bucket list.
It gnaws at you that I've walked on the track.
I'll match that one day.
You feel that I have desecrated the track.
Let's not go that far.
Oh, no. You've thought that. Yeah. All right. We'll wrap it up in a moment here on News Radio 1070 WKOK.
When it comes to car buying, there's the other guy's way, and then there's the SMC way. The other guys force you into a vehicle you really don't want. The Sunbury Motors way lets you take the time you need to browse, ask questions, and take the test drive and think on it. For over 100 years, the Mertz family and all their employees have made your experience the most pleasant one you'll ever have. The other guys won't offer you the best price for your trade, no matter how much they say they will. The SMC way is their promise to provide you with the most money the market shows your vehicle is worth. The SMC way is to offer you all applicable factory rebates on new vehicles and generous discounts. Looking for a pre-owned vehicle? The SMC way checks each vehicle in a 200-mile radius to determine the lowest price, then beat it. It's the lowest price promise, just part of the SMC way. The choice is up to you, the other guy's way or the SMC way. The SMC way wins every time. Sunbury Motors Company in the North 4th Street Auto Plaza, Sunbury, and at sunburymotors.com. Selling more cars and satisfying more customers for over 100 years.